Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, Jamie and I were just really blessed and overwhelmed last night with all the things that people said about us. And you know, we were in the apartment last night thinking about, God, this is so awesome. You know, all we've done is try and seek the Lord and minister and follow the Lord. And it's cost us some things in the beginning especially. But you know what, Matt? We got friends all around the world. We are blessed. Good things are happening. You know what? This is much better. Much better than what I would have done with my life if I hadn't have followed God. If I would have got tired and quit, you know what? I wouldn't have near the friends. Matter of fact, I had some of our staff as I was going around and saying hi to people today. They were talking about this thing, that the tribute that happened last night. And they were saying, you know what? If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't have made these friends. We wouldn't have known each other. And there's just a lot of people's lives changed. There's so many good things that happen when you put God first. I guarantee you, it's better than your choices that you would choose for your own life. Some of you are thinking, but man, if I was to do that, it'd cost me something. All it'll cost you is your depression and discouragement and sickness and failure and fear. It will cost you something. It'll cost you all that junk in life. But I tell you, serving God is the best way to go. And if you were to, what I'm trying to really get across this week is that you already are the salt of this earth. You are already the light of the world. God lives on the inside of you. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in you bodily. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Brothers and sisters, we've got this treasure in earthen vessels, and most of us are going around completely ignorant of who we are. We approach life like we are a mere human being. We approach our problems. When the doctor says you're going to die, fear comes into us just like it does into people that don't know God and don't have the resurrection power from the dead on the inside of them. We're perishing because we don't know the truth. And not only we are perishing, but other people are perishing because we don't realize what we have. Therefore, we aren't being bold about saying it. Man, you need to get the attitude that if somebody ought to feel weird, it ought to be the unbeliever. Instead of you feeling odd for, well, you don't believe in immorality and you're still married to the same person and you haven't been married five or six times. I'm not criticizing anybody who has, but I'm just saying that if you've got a marriage that's working, you shouldn't feel weird. It ought to be all of the perverts that feel weird. Amen? You ought to get to a place that instead of you feeling weird for standing for morality, they ought to feel weird. You know, I hesitate to give many examples because I'm not the most tactful, tasteful person that has ever done this. There's probably a lot better examples than what I am. But you know what? I've seen this work so many times. I remember playing basketball one time with a group of guys, and they were all a lot younger than me, and I never was any good at basketball in the first place. I played football, and I played basketball like I play football. Amen. I mean, you get bloody noses when you play with me. So anyway, we were playing. And these guys, you know, it was just some guys that came out to a basketball court, and I didn't know any of them. And as we were playing, every time something would go wrong, they'd blaspheme God, they'd curse, they'd say these vile, terrible things. And you know what? It grieved me to hear this, and I was praying, God, give me an opportunity. And finally, one of them just cussed when he missed the basket. And I started going, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and just glorifying the Lord. And everybody stopped and looked at me. They said, what are you doing? And I said, hey, it's a free nation. I demand equal time. You praise your God, I'll praise my God. Amen. And so they'd miss another basket, and they'd curse, and I'd go, thank you, Jesus, you're awesome. And you know what? After a while, they got to laughing, and every time they'd miss, they'd turn around and say, thank you, Jesus. And I'd say, thank you, Jesus. And it changed the whole attitude. Nobody got offended. They thought it was funny. But you know what? It stopped that profanity. And it gave me an opportunity to make a statement. You don't have to be mean about it. But you know what? We just need to step in. We need to do something. You know, over in England, what the favorite saying of people when you go up to them in England and you say, "How are you?" And they go, "Not too bad." Isn't that what they typically say? Man, I every time somebody says that, I said, "Oh, well, I'm sorry." And they go, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you aren't too bad, but you are bad." And they'll say, "Oh, well, no, I'm really not bad." And, you know, I'll just take that as an opportunity to say, "Well, then why don't you say that you're blessed? Or why don't you say something good?" And you know what? You just start putting out a little bit of salt, a little bit of light, and people don't even realize what they're doing. "Oh, I'm not too bad." It's not so bad under the circumstances. The Bible says you're supposed to be above only and not beneath. What are you doing under the circumstances? Amen. You know what? You could, if you really just get to thinking about it, you could let your light shine. You can tell people about the goodness of God. If we were to go back to our jobs and when somebody starts talking about sickness and, "Oh, I got this pain and, oh, this and that." You know, if you just tell them about how God has healed you. Tell them about this service that you saw 100 people in 20-something minutes manifest a physical healing. And that there was hundreds of others that God healed. It's just in the process. But you go to telling them. You tell them about how God has healed you. And I guarantee you, it had changed people's lives. There will be people that will reject you. There will be people that will criticize you. I'm not saying that that won't happen. But you know what? There will be people also who want to know the truth. And when they start hearing it, they'll come to the light. They'll be drawn to the light. They'll want to know this. You know, I've had a lot of people ridicule me and make fun of me and call me a fanatic, but when they get sick, they know who it is that to come to. I've had a lot of people who reject me, but when they get in trouble, they know where to come and ask for prayer. You know, I'm reminded of this story of a little boy who went to a secular summer camp for 2 weeks. And his mother, you know, he had been raised in church and he was a Christian, and she was afraid that he would be made fun of and that there would be conflicts and problems. And this is the first time he had ever been really out of her control. And so she was really concerned. She prayed with him and they believed God for protection and that God would bless him while he was at this summer camp. She prayed for him the whole time he was gone. When he got back, he was so excited telling her about they, you know, played in the lake and canoes and they went horseback riding, all the stuff that they did, and they had archery, and he was talking about all the stuff that they did. And finally she said, "So did anybody make fun of you? Did you get persecuted for being a Christian?" And he said, "Oh no, Mom, nobody ever found out." He thought that was a good thing. That's a terrible thing. You know what? People ought to be able to tell a difference between someone who's alive and someone who's dead. That's what the Bible says. "You hath he quickened who were dead." Every person prior to being born again is dead. They're dead. They have the spirit of this world operating in them. The God of this world is blinding them. There ought to be a difference between a person who's alive and one who's dead. And yet, if many of us were arrested for being a Christian, there wouldn't be enough evidence to convict you. You know, prior to me receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I got that when I was 18 years old. You know what? I was a Christian. I got born again when I was 8 years old. And I had some of these concepts that we were talking about. I was aware that there was a huge difference between the way God wanted me to live and the way that the world lived. But the way that I responded to it prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit was to be afraid that I would be tainted by the world. And because of this, man, I just started withdrawing. I tried to, in a sense, just withdraw into, you know, my Christian realm and avoid things. And one of the sad statements that I've had said about me was my best friend, Bill Floyd, who was my best friend up until the sixth grade. You remember the Floyds, don't you? He heard me on television. And man, he got turned on. And so he came out here and I met Bill and his wife. And they came out and Bill, he was the quarterback of the football team. I was the center on the football team. We were best friends. And up until junior high, he was my very best friend. Throughout the rest of my school time, we knew each other, but we went different directions. And the reason is because Bill got into a lot of ungodly stuff and started living an ungodly lifestyle. And so I withdrew from him, and I just quit fellowshipping with him. And we weren't friends. We never were mad at each other. I just withdrew because I didn't like the way he was going. Anyway, he got born again. He got into some terrible things, had multiple marriages, wound up being an alcoholic. And in a rehab center, a Christian rehab center, the lady who was his counselor, they eventually wound up getting married. And both of them were born again. And he just had this life-transforming experience. Now he's on fire and turned on to God, saw me on television, couldn't wait to come meet us, and we went out to eat right down the street here. And while we were eating, he gave me his whole testimony, just so excited about Jesus. And he says, "When did you get saved?" And I said, "When I was 8. And he just looked at me, and he says, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say anything?" And I said, "Well, you know what? When we got into junior highs, when you got sexually active, you started doing this stuff, you started doing things, and you know what? That wasn't right, and it was wrong, and I withdrew." And he didn't get mad at me and lose his temper, but you could tell he was disappointed, like, "Well, you were my best friend. Why didn't you tell me?" And that was a shame, but that's the way that I lived. And you know what? I haven't done it perfectly, but I've just made a decision that, praise God, I don't want to have other people stand before God on judgment day who were the people that waited on me at the gas station, waitresses, other people, and they're dying and going to hell, and they were praying that someone would come across their path, and I just didn't say anything because I was afraid that maybe they would influence me negatively. Man, that's not the way that it's supposed to be. Brothers and sisters, we are the salt and the light of this world. We're it. And we got to recognize it. People are dying and going to hell. There are people in your family. Man, there shouldn't be any member of your family that hasn't heard the truth. They ought to hear the truth.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
This is Andrew sharing with all of our listeners to our radio program that we have begun producing our radio programs now from live teachings that I've made at our Gospel Truth Seminars. And the offers that we're making at the end of our program are really unique to our radio ministry. This is different from my television programs. We used to take the radio programs from the TV programs, but now we are taking them directly from these live meetings. And one of the benefits of this is that most of the product offers that we are offering you are CDs and DVDs taught directly from these live gospel truth seminars. This is the only way that we're offering these is through the radio. So it'll be something that'll be unique. It'll be a blessing to you. Please take advantage of our new live broadcast.